Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In today's message, Pastor Ed Young continues a series of talks titled Interview with a Porn Star. In today's message, you'll discover life transformation still happens because of the power of Jesus. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called Interview with a Porn Star. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
We have Joshua Broom with us again today. Joshua is such a great man of God. It's amazing how we got to know each other, but I'm just so thrilled and honored to have him. He has an amazing story, former porn star who fell in love with the person of Jesus Christ and God transformed his life. And here's the good news. God can transform anybody.
Amen.
Okay, Joshua, you've mentioned to me before in some of our conversations, all right, so you become a Christian.
Yeah.
You're discipled. Now you're married. You were telling me too that Christian counseling has really been beneficial, because so many of us need Christian counseling.
And
you know, I'm a big believer in that. I utilize it myself. My wife and I do. I want to hear about that a little bit.
Yeah, I would say, man, if yes, you can be saved in a moment, but sanctification is a process that continues until glory.
That's true. Okay, and now explain that, because some people go, all right, sanctification, what is that? How would you describe or explain sanctification, Joshua?
Yeah, sanctification is a starting block, right?
That's right.
So when you start following Jesus progressively, you're going to become less like who you used to be.
Very well
said. That person is dead, and you're on this journey to becoming more like Jesus.
And that's called sanctification.
And that's called sanctification. It's this purification. And there's levels of consecration throughout your life, and what you need to do, I call them hot. Mm-hmm. Conversations, right? So you need to have someone in your life you can have hot conversations with. So honest, open, and transparent.
Because so you would tell everybody here, especially let's talk about the men.
Yeah, men and women.
Men and women.
You need someone in your life
that's
that
so
you can
true.
Be ruthlessly honest with. Because if I'm not willing to tell you the truth, because you're only as free as you're honest.
That's true.
And if we have a relationship and you love me, I'm going to tell you the truth and you're going to tell me the truth. So what doesn't work is if we're in a relationship and you're holding me accountable and you're going to, like, we're on this journey in life together. If I say, hey, man, the other day I looked at this website. I know I shouldn't have looked at it, but, you know, I did it again. Yeah. And if your response is, man, why'd you do that again? You knucklehead, man. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So that's not helpful.
Right.
If I say, well, hey, let's call your wife right now. That's not helpful either.
Right.
But what is helpful, if you look me in the eye and say, hey, man, I love you. Mm-hmm. And you said that this was detrimental to your life. It's keeping you from moving in the direction that you wanted to go. Mm-hmm. Why did you say yes to clicking on that website?
Wow.
Because that's a different question.
That's right.
Because it's not like the porn consumption is not the problem. It's why you said yes to it. And if you can get to the root of the problem, you can realize I'm actually medicating an emotion. Hey, it's not about porn. It's about there's something I don't want to deal with, and I'm going to cover it up with this, and I'm going to get that dopamine hit, and I'm going to feel good about it, and I might feel some shame and guilt afterwards, but I'm not going to have to deal with that wound that I don't want to talk about or I don't want to deal with. But if I do the hard work, and say, hey, I felt really lonely. I started thinking about this. And then, you know, I saw something, and then I saw something else, and I ended up on the website.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different conversation. So those are the conversations that I had that allowed me to heal. Because, you know, I mean, we're saved, you know, through repentance, right? So Jesus saved us, salvation. Yes. But we're healed, you know, James talks about, we're healed through confession to one another.
Yes.
So it's so important for us to relinquish the thing that's holding us back. Because the thing that we feel like so unmentionable, it's actually holding us captive. Even though we're free in Christ, we can hold ourselves captive.
How have you rewired your brain? I mean, I'm just thinking about fantasies, images. I mean, wow.
Yeah, but for me, you know, I know that's not the case for everyone, but for me personally, I had night terrors for the 2 years I was out of the industry. I would dream that I was on set all the time. I was getting found out all the time. But when I gave my life to Jesus, all the memories of being, specifically like the sexual memories of being on set, those were wiped away. I've had conversations with people where I've tried to recollect something and I couldn't. But what lasted was the wounds. The mental and emotional wounds of exposing myself to that capacity. So for me, you know, the counseling, being honest with someone, but also like you got to take practical steps. So number one, you need to identify that porn's not good for you. It's detrimental to society. You know, 56% of divorces have some sort of pornography consumption within it.
Really?
You know, average age of exposure, 11 years old. $100 billion industry. Porn's consumed more than Amazon, Netflix, and Twitter all combined. Makes more money than the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball all combined.
And porn.
And it's fueled by what? Your eyes. It's monetized through viewership. And here's the reality. This is just real. This might sound a little crass, but this is real. The most popular porn is teen porn. I've been on these sets, and they're dressing these girls up in stockings and pigtails and schoolgirl outfits. What teenage girl dresses like that? They don't. They're dressing these teenage girls up and making them look like children. And that is the most popular. So you're saying like you're seeing sex trafficking, you're seeing, you know, a rise in pedophilia behavior. You're seeing this and it's being rewired in your mind. You're watching this and you don't realize that these people are becoming products and these scenarios are becoming real life to you. And you're all of a sudden you're insatiable for a desire. You have an appetite for something that you never intended to have an appetite for, but your brain's being rewired. That's just real. And the people in the industry, the 30 people who took their own life, you know what the porn industry did? They make a best of tape. You know, here's all of their scenes. Go check this out. This is a memorial to them, and they monetize their suicide. So that's just common practice. So you're talking about a vile, evil industry that's contributing to very real evil in the world, contributing to sex trafficking, contributing to rape culture. So what you need to know, it is evil.
Bad. It's evil.
Bad. Because if you don't truly believe that, you're going to justify it and go back. If you say it's not a big deal, it's just, I'm just a dude, that's just what I do, you're going to justify it and you're going to go back. What's going to cause you to say no to it? And then now get practical. Like, how do I remove these things from my life? Well, I need to take inventory. What in my life are leading me in to make the decisions that I'm making? You know, who am I following on social media? What kind of music am I listening to? What kind of movies?
See, these are like portals, right? Would that be the word portals? Well, it can be.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so the way I would explain it is, so every time there's a stimulus, there's a thought provoked, and that thought's like a train. So either I can get on that train, knowing where it's going to take me, or second, you know, Corinthians 10:5, I can reject that thought and make it obedience to Christ. So, you know, who am I following? Who's speaking to my life? What do I believe to be true? And then in addition to that, I need to set boundaries. Because if there's something that I'm going to continue tripping over, if I don't see it, I'm going to keep tripping over it. So I need to make it harder for me to not do the thing that I don't want to do.
Okay.
Because, I mean, while Romans 7 is true, while we'll continue to struggle, I'll continue to want to do the thing that I don't want to do and struggle to do the thing that I want to do, I can make it easier on myself by putting boundaries in my way, whether that's, you know, covenant eyes or some kind of, VPN that's going to block my access to.
And weren't you telling me that you have people in your life who have access to of your digital, all of your technology, everything.
Yeah, so I mean, my wife and three other people have all of my passwords to my social media, my emails.
See, that'd be great for, again, wouldn't you say that's kind of part of that hot conversation, being able to?
100%, because if I restrict access to people, like to things like that, I'm setting myself up for failure.
That's right.
Like the enemy's going to use that. The enemy's like we're called not to be foolish.
That's right.
We're called not to be fools. And the way that we're foolish is believing for 1 second that I got this. I'll never make it. I'll never not need accountability. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if I walk in purity for 60 years, I'm still susceptible to falling.
Yeah.
I'm susceptible to doing something stupid every single day. So it's wise to guard myself and give other people access to my life.
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting The Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
What would you say, Joshua, to parents? Okay, we have, again, so many kids.
Yeah.
We have a phenomenal youth ministry.
Yeah.
What are some practical points that you would say?
Yeah, so there's great software out there for kids. It's called Bark. And Bark, what it does, it sets you up.
B-A-R-K.
Yeah, B-A-R-K, okay. Great software.
All right.
And what it does is it allows you to lead the conversation in that, so you restrict what they see. And if they see something that you necessarily didn't want them to see, or they try to go around, you know, the device, you're notified.
Okay.
They're not notified, you are. So now you can have a conversation. It's like, hey, have you seen something that maybe you weren't looking for, you stumbled upon? So now you're not having an accusatory situation.
Yes.
Because what happens is, if your kid says, hey, I was at such and such's house and I saw porn, you're like, oh my gosh, you saw
that's
what?
That's right, yeah.
If you react like that, they're never going to tell you that again. Mm-hmm. You know, that's true
right.
in any case with anyone. If you're counseling someone,
isn't that true?
If you are shocked and off-put by what they're saying, they're never going to trust you with that information again. And I think there's a book, it's called like Good Book, Bad Pictures or something like that, but it gives you like practical advice on like how to prepare your kids if they do see something, because average age of exposure, 11 years old. 84% of the time when kids under 15 see pornography, it's accidental. Meaning that they're online searching for
whatever,
an assignment and they scroll down too far and there's hardcore pornography.
Yeah.
And now you see something you never intended to see. You feel some sort of way. And now these thoughts, this curiosity, it takes you to somewhere you never intended to go. I mean, that's my story. I saw porn when I was 12. And then, you know, the wheel started turning. And I started feeling some sort of way. And if we can get to a place where it's like, hey, if you see that, That doesn't make you dirty. Mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not mad at you. Mm-hmm. But please tell me.
Yeah.
And then you can have a conversation. And just honestly, just prepare yourself as a parent.
And also, too, parents being intentional about having the kids around the right people, which is going to happen in church. And that means, as a parent, I've got to lead out.
Yeah.
And say, okay, we're going to be a part of this community of believers.
Yeah.
We're going to have our kids up here, because that's where you meet the people, and there's community and accountability and fellowship and all that.
Yeah, and I would just say, you know, as a church community, we've got to do a better job of, I think, you know, over the last 10 years, we've been talking around porn, but really talking about porn, talking about sex, talking about gender, talking about identity, talking about all the things they're hearing. Because again, Romans 12:2 is true. Either you're going to be conformed by the world, and if you're not talking about it, that's the only option. So do you want your child to be molded by their smartphone and the news and the kids and, you know, maybe people at school that are propagating something you don't agree with? Or are you going to plant your feet and have a difficult conversation? Mm-hmm. Because I would just say this, when people are like, hey, I don't want to talk about, you know, porn with my kids. I don't want to have the sex talk because I don't think they're ready. That is never about them. And it's always about you.
I'm sure people ask you this question. How has your wife been able to handle this? I mean, obviously you're new in Christ.
Yeah.
And I love how you told me too, that you actually had a funeral for your old life, which I think is brilliant.
Yes. Yeah, so that was, you know, kudos to my counselor.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. So his name's Brian Shepherd.
So you had like, I'm dead. I love that.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's just true.
It's true.
Because either 2 Corinthians 5:17 is true or it's not.
Right.
So either that person is dead and gone, and I'm new in Christ. I've got a new mind. I've got a new purpose. You know, I'm alive. I used to be dead.
And the great thing about it, Joshua, is this. Okay, what happened to you can happen to anyone here who will see this.
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
The Jesus can come into their lives if they ask him. The Holy Spirit can wreck them.
Yeah.
And they can have a funeral.
Yeah. Because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do.
That's right.
I think, and again, I would say probably the thing that I'm most passionate about right now in this season of my life is teaching on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit wants to convict you, conform you, and prompt you.
That's right.
And you, in you know, you
convict,
conform,
and prompt.
Yeah.
Okay, explain that. Conviction. Yeah. How would you break that down?
Well, because conviction is from the Lord, but Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
So I if it's condemnation, it's from Satan.
That's right.
If it's conviction, it's from the Lord.
Yes.
So I'm not my sin, you know?
Yeah.
But I can be convicted of sin.
Yes. Okay, so that's the conviction.
So it's like, hey, you're going this way over here, man.
Yeah.
You know, you're moving in a direction that's not good for you. And then again, like John 14:15, like if you love me, you obey my commandments. So understanding the voice of the Father, like understanding his tone is so important.
And we can hear that.
Yeah, because it's not if you love me, you'll do what I say.
Right.
It's I love you.
Yeah.
If you trust me, I'll protect you from you destroying yourself. Mm-hmm.
So that's conviction. Okay. The next one
is conforming, right?
Okay.
So I want to be conformed by God dwelling within me and living out the life that he's called me to live in. As I get closer to him, there's levels of consecration. As you know, as you're purified, you become, you know, more like the person God intends you to be. And what happens is you become more satiated and satisfied in the Lord. The things that you used to struggle with look less tempting.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how you defeat, you know, an addiction. Starve it. You know, you got two dogs in the fight.
Yes.
Whichever one you don't feed is going to become weak.
That's right.
And even though they still might have a leash on you and pull you in one way direction, it's not strong enough to lead me from the thing that I'm clinging to.
And what's the third one again?
Yeah, prompt. Like sometimes God's going to prompt you to step out in faith so that he can heal you. If you're willing to meet God where you are, he will take you to somewhere you never could have gotten to on your own.
Wow.
And that takes courage.
Yes, it does.
Right? So when you're prompted to step out and be courageous, what happens is as you're pursuing that, you will become purified and your faith will grow, you know, and your relationship will deepen.
Yes.
So that's the prompting.
Okay. So going back, how...
Also the wife.
Yeah, you're right. How has your lovely wife just dealt with this?
Yeah, for me... She clings to scripture to be true. So it's like, she doesn't deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, but to be completely honest, for her, like she didn't live a promiscuous lifestyle and she believes scripture says what it means and it means what it says.
Yes.
So she never knew me as that person. She knew me for 4 days before I gave my life to Christ. And the person that she knew was just a guy that worked at the gym that worked his butt off.
Yeah.
She didn't know me as that person.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, that person's dead. I don't know that guy.
Yeah.
And then what I just, I think this is so important. Mm-hmm. Love and lust are not similar. They're polar opposites. And when I experience love, man.
Yeah.
That was so much better than this weird stuff over here.
Yeah.
Because lust is selfish. It serves you.
That's right.
It's momentary.
Yes.
It's a quick dopamine hit, and it's all about you. Love costs you something.
Yes.
It takes sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It takes work. So when I experience this, I'm like, man, I don't know what that was, but I know it's not this. And all of a sudden, my heart was satisfied for the first mm-hmm. time.
How would you lead us in a prayer, or what would you do in that regard?
Yeah, I would say the words of Jesus, repent, for the kingdom's at hand.
Okay.
Right? So repentance is the gateway to freedom.
Yes.
Not, I'm sorry. You're talking about the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow.
Yes.
It's like godly sorrow leads to deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Worldly sorrow is, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry means I got caught.
That's right.
I'm sorry I got caught. It's consequences for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose my marriage.
Yes.
I don't want to lose my job. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be seen in such a way. Godly sorrow is I'm going to have a reverent stance before God, and I'm going to see him for who he is. And that is repentance.
That's
me
right.
being in awe of God,
yes.
approaching him as him being my father,
yeah.
the one that created me.
And making that about face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, just think
That's
about
right.
repentance. It's a logistical terminology.
Yes, it
right?
is.
So it's a 180-degree turn
yeah.
away. Like, it's not just me turning my back to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's me turning my back and running. Because repentance is
Good.
Not like, well, you know, I don't want to do this mm-hmm. anymore. No, I take responsibility. It was upon my own volition. Because
yeah.
what changed my life was when I stopped blaming my father for my sin. Because I blamed, it was like, well, if I would have had a daddy,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have done this.
Yeah.
If I had a daddy,
yeah.
I wouldn't have done that. And God really convicted me of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it was upon your own volition you made those decisions. And so just how Jesus with joy set before and went to the cross and died for me, I'm called to die to myself for him. So I'd love to pray for
yes,
us
would
right
you
now.
Would you pray and
yeah.
I just want everyone to bow their heads and Josh is going to lead us in a prayer.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, I pray that you search our hearts and bring to the forefront of our mind
yes.
anything that is a sin against you. God, I just pray for the courage and the confidence
mm-hmm.
to lay it at your feet. Whatever it is that you've been holding on to for so long, God, it's time for us to let it go.
Yes.
If you
really?
Want freedom, you're going to have to be courageous.
That's it.
There's going to have to make a choice. So if there's something in your life with everyone's heads bowed and everyone's eyes closed, if there's something in your life that you want to let go of,
yes.
I want you to, in faith, extend your hand. There's so many people struggling
right.
with so many things. We're all imperfect. The Bible
yes.
says that we're none of us. We're all sinners. That we've sinned and fall short of the glory
yes.
of God, and it dampens our relationship with God. It doesn't allow us to see Jesus for who he is. It doesn't allow the power and the authority
yes.
of the
right.
Holy Spirit
yes.
to maneuver through your life.
Yes.
There's something that God is calling you to, but there's something you have to let go so he can put something better
yes.
in your hands. So today, relinquish the thing that you've been holding on to. Repent of the thing
yes.
that you've done and let God heal you.
That's right.
Through confession.
That's right.
We love you, Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you for all that you are. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being with us today on The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We hope this message has equipped you with great biblical tools to empower you. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as Pastor Ed begins a new series, That's the Way the Character Crumbles, and we'll discover how in an insane, out-of-control world, we can stand with integrity and honor. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be a part of what God is doing through the Creative Connection. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless.